Well, it's good to be back here tonight and on our Sunday evening times together. We want to sometimes try to tackle some touchy topics or things going on in society. Sometimes we want to avoid the elephant in the room, and so tonight we're going to try to eat that elephant, for at least one of them. But before I do, I'm going to give myself a way out. Okay. Are there any questions about this morning or any of the crosswords? Because this is going to be our last Sunday night of the month, and then is there anything y'all want to?
From last week, I have something.
Sure.
Okay, I totally agree with you. If a man from behind the pulpit falls from grace and has an affair,
oh, okay.
He should not be
last Sunday night. Okay.
Yeah, that he should not be behind the pulpit anymore. King David did the same thing, but yet he was still a king. So why was in kingship taken away from him?
Yeah, I would say that the qualifications for the church exceed that for qualifications of the government. And in David's case, he was a man after God's own heart. He suffered, God punished him quite severely, and he was withheld. God would not let him build the temple. He was, both a man of blood, and then God said, you've caused the nations to blaspheme. You've given them an occasion. Here's the man after God's own heart, and it's 3,000 years later, it's still talked about and still used. And because of that, he was one of the reasons he was disqualified. So I would say that, any person in a leadership position, they can be restored to fellowship of the church. They should be. I mean, that's the gospel, but not to leadership. Yeah, that would be my position on that. But so some obviously would disagree. But
I agree.
Yeah, yes, some would disagree. But and I would say that David was removed. He wasn't allowed with the. He could do the government part and the king and but. And there was that separation between we would say church and state, and there's different qualifications.
Jimmy Swaggart would definitely disagree.
Jimmy, yeah, there's a lot of them that would definitely disagree. And I do plan on it'll probably be the first part of July. I still haven't decided where we're going to go after we finish with the crosswords and then get to the past the anniversary, but. Probably going to deal with this mess in our convention and sin in the church, how to deal with sin in the church, sin in leadership, things like, what do we do? How do we handle this? And so I'm kind of thinking we might have a short little series on, on that because it is so prominent and we're in the news, I mean, I didn't know several of our past presidents of our convention, I mean, disgraced. I mean, they're the top dogs, the top dogs. Yeah, did you have something there?
Well, just what Mr. Johnson said, and where do you draw the line between what's allowed and what's not?
Well, in 1 Timothy and in Titus, there are qualifications for the elder, which would be a pastor, a bishop, a preacher, the elder, different terms, and also for deacons. And so I would say that those in those leadership positions need to meet those qualifications. And one of those qualifications is to be above reproach. Both within the church and without of the church. And so if that can't be met, then that person would no longer be qualified. But there's a nice little list there. We don't usually use that list for our pastors. It's where did they graduate from, but that they need to graduate from Titus chapter 1, and they need to graduate from 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's the graduation. So, but anyway, I do plan on addressing this on a Sunday morning, in the coming weeks. Yes.
You talked about that list, but they didn't have Sunday school. Would you not consider Sunday school teachers a part of that?
Yes, I would say, yeah, any person in a leadership position, a teacher. In fact, we established here at Classic, we have a leadership covenant. And for somebody that wants to lead in that way, I mean, there's just a basic requirement there. And then in that to say, you know, if there's a failure in that in some way, then you're disqualified from a position of leadership. So, yeah, we have that here in our church. So, but I think it's important because, you know, that's what we're dealing with in our denomination. Another sticky subject. Well, we're going to deal with another sticky one tonight. You might say a colorful one. Pun intended. The last few Sundays, we have put the Baptist Faith and Message kind of on hold to deal with some hot topics. We've talked about the sexual sin and the SBC, as well as the issue of abortion. And tonight, we're going to think a little bit about Pondering Pride Month. And I want to begin by saying that there is a correlation and there is an inextricable connection between all of these three. When you deal with sexual sin, the issue of abortion, and the issue of homosexuality, they are all connected in a natural progression because there is a natural and a sinful progression into perversion. It is a well-worn path of depravity that the Bible lays out in several places, and one of these sins, when you leave the morality of sexual morality within marriage, then you will start on a path that will naturally and sinfully lead to another degree, to another degree, to another degree that includes abortion and it includes homosexuality. The Bible talks about this societal slide into sodomy. It is a path of perversion and it is a downgrade into depravity. And I use that term on purpose, the term downgrade. I'm sure, Daryl, you know what a downgrade is. When I drive and I'm on the road and you're going through a mountainous region, and you'll see this little yellow sign. In fact, it shows a truck on a hill. And it's a warning, and it will say, was it 6% downgrade?
Hey, whatever.
Yeah, 6% downgrade. Hey, I remember the last time we were out, and I had to look at it. Okay, what? Where did they get this? 6% of what? You know,
from the top of the mountain, they go 100 foot out, and then every
how much it drops every 100 foot is that? But you see the little yellow sign, you know, warning the truckers with the big load, and even, you know, anybody else that you're going to hit a downgrade. And when you hit a downgrade, the road is going to get steeper. And you could go faster, and it's going to be more dangerous. In fact, they might even put a little runoff. You might run off into some sand or run it, because once you get going down this hill, the increased speed, you're at a dangerous place when you're on a downgrade. And I would say we're on a downgrade. So we're going to talk about a little bit of the downgrade that's blaring before us with Pride Month. Okay. Well, let's start with prayer, and then we'll think about this. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for the church, for the assembly of your people, that we can come, spur one another on to love and good works. We are in need of your grace, your care, the power of your Spirit to keep us on the right path, Lord, to keep us from compromise, but also to be full of compassion for sinners, because, Lord, you had great compassion on us. Keep us in the truth of your gospel, and might tonight build us up in our most holy faith as we deal with this most glaring issue in our society. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, Pride Month. Has everybody heard of it? I mean, you know, can I mean, does everybody know what I'm talking about here when I say Pride Month? In some way, I think that's a rhetorical question because you can't avoid it. Does everybody know? Do I need to define Pride Month? Because you can't.
If you have a television,
if you look at the signs, I mean, this is the month for pride.
Huh?
Yeah, it's everywhere. Well, let me start by saying this, that pride is a sin. Okay? I mean, you might say it's one of the original sins, but pride is a sin. It's a great sin. Pride is a sin. And then, you think of Pride Month, to be proud of a sin is a double sin. It is a compounded sin. It is to take pride in something that God condemns.
Yeah, but all pride is a sin, right?
Yes, yeah.
You can be proud of your kids, your parents, or...
Well, we would, you know, maybe make some qualifications. You know, you could be, you know, a sort of pride that may not be sinful, but to be proud and arrogant and boastful, and you know, all about self and self gratification and that flamboyance. That's, you know, would be, you know, trying to, you know, show off, and you know that kind of pride is condemned. And Pride Month, this month is set aside as a promotion of perversion. That's what it's here for. This month is for celebrating the sinful. Okay, it is an active, open celebration of the sinful. In fact, the sin of homosexuality, it seems to be one of the only sins that has an active promoting arm and advertising agent for it, where it is actively promoted, it is actively celebrated. You have Pride Month, but you don't have Lying Month, you don't have a Murder Month, you don't have Thief Week, you know, none of these things are set aside to say, yay, for this sin. But this sin is set apart for some reason. The first one I could see, and as far as gay pride and stuff, was in 1970. Gay pride then began to gather some steam from the sexual revolution of the 60s, leading into the abortion debate that came out of that. And so gay pride just kind of was on, you know, on the skirts of these other perversions and distortions of human sexuality. President Clinton, at the end of the 20th century, in the year 2000, declared June to be Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. Then President Obama, during his administration, declared June to be LGBT Pride Month. And our current President Biden declared June now to be LGBTQ+. Pride Month. There's more and more stuff being added on to the downgrade, and our government is very active in promoting sexual perversion as well as celebrating this sin. I find it interesting. I don't think it was by accident that they picked the month of June. Because June is the traditional marriage month. It's when we got married. We just celebrated our 36th anniversary. I'm in trouble. Yeah, I hear we're talking about marriage. We just had it, and I was like, which?
And you forgot in front of all of us.
And it's on recorded for for posterity's sake. Marriage Month has been absconded to promote the obscene. This is something, this is an in-your-face attack upon God's created order. For God's design for the sexes, male and female, as well as marriage, sex within marriage, children, all of this is distorted in this colorful celebration of Pride Month. Sally, you mentioned they have a flag. In fact, it's not just a male and female, the genders and sex that is distorted, but God's sign of a promise is also distorted. The rainbow has been used. It seems ironic to me that a rainbow is used. Well, why did God give us the rainbow?
Promise.
It's a promise. He would not judge the whole earth again by way of water. It's an ironic connection that rainbow comes right after the destruction of the entire world. And can I say that with this Pride Month and stuff going on, that the longevity of society is shortened with sodomy? It just is. It always has been, and it always will be, as well as the connection with these other sexual sins and abortion, because, you know, if you kill your kids with abortion, and then if you promote a sex that cannot produce kids, society will die. It just will. That's the way God created this world. It will die. In fact, it's just been recently reported on how the percentages of those who claim homosexuality in some way has gone up from 1% of the population from like World War II, and then the baby boomers, it went up to 2%, and then 4%, and then 10%. And now it says that this current generation, 20% of the current generation, says that they are one of the LGBTQ plus 2S, whatever, you know, one of the letters. 20%. Wow. In fact, one of the famous comedians of the day, I think it was Bill Maher, just joked that, hey, by the year 2050, we'll all be gay, you know. And then society will decay and go away, because it can't last. That's just an obvious thing. And it seems like that everyone is celebrating sodomy and Pride Month. In fact, the Babylon Bee just reported that even Chick-fil-A is now celebrating Pride Month, saying that all of its waffle fries will be salted with Lot's wife. It was a joke. It's a parody site. But, you know, and it said that if you give them the secret phrase "drag shows for kids," then they will give you a millstone to hang around your neck to be thrown at you. You know, that was, it didn't go over very well, but I tried.
Don't try again.
Oh well, you know. I got a son that works. But if you think about the private and this month of Pride, sodomy has always been associated with a celebration of that sin. Turn to Isaiah 3 and verse 9. And I just find this is an interesting thing to think about. Pride Month is nothing new, taking pride in a perversion. Isaiah 3 and verse 9. Isaiah 3 and verse 9, we read, "The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil upon themselves." They display it like Sodom. They do not conceal it. The term described it, you know, they're out of the closet. no longer hiding it. You know, one of the thing about sin, we know that we're sinful. When our first parents sinned, what did they go do? They went and hid. They tried to cover it up, and we all do the same. We know we're guilty, and when we're guilty, we try to hide it. We don't want to tell people. We don't want to show people. That's why we wear clothes. I mean, we try to keep it covered because we know we're sinful against our God, and we have rebelled against Him. But there is a place in the sinful, depraved mind where there is no longer a hiding. There is a celebrating. I don't conceal it anymore. I don't hide it anymore. I flaunt it. I put it in your face, and I put it in God's face. It says, accept me. You know, just it's just out there in the open. In fact, Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, the prophet talks to the people. And he says, you're kind of like, well, I'm going to quote it wrong. I'll just read it. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, I think, says, were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they will fall among those who fall at the time I will punish them. Forgotten how to blush. You know, I mean, as human beings, we blush, or at least we should. But there comes a time in a depraved mind where there's no shame, and there's not even any blushing. Isaiah 5, verses 18 to 20, talks about this kind of the same kind of thing. Woe to those who drag iniquity along with cords of falsehood and sin as with carts of ropes, who say, let him make speed, let him hasten his work that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One draw near and come to pass that we may know it. But woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Here's just a people proud of their sin. They're displaying it. In fact, it's cartloads on it. They're just bringing it along. They're parading it. It's on display. And in this display comes with a contortion of language to where things are turned upside down and light becomes dark and bitter becomes sweet and then the opposite. And morality is redefined. We are going to rewrite the laws of God, and we're going to take pride in our perversion. In fact, we are to a point in our own land that religion is being used to try to sanitize sodomy. Denominations are dividing and splitting over this very issue, and religion is used in this pride and in the arguments for it. The church, of all things. In fact, just this last week, a representative from California made the news. Maybe you saw him, and he had a nice little stunt that he pulled where he stood up and he said, I'm going to tell you all of the things that Jesus said about homosexuality. And then he stood in silence. A nice little publicity and political stunt, kind of implying that Jesus Christ said nothing on the subject. Because Jesus condones this sin. But can I tell you, he was lying about what he was implying in his political stunt. In fact, Sodom and Gomorrah is specifically mentioned 9 different times in the New Testament, 6 of which came from our Lord's mouth himself, and the other 3 came from his mouthpieces, his apostles. So all of them came from him. I mean, Jesus Christ addresses this subject. In fact, let me just maybe to pull my own stunt here. Let me just read a little bit. Luke 17, beginning in verse 28, Jesus says, and it was the same. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating and they were drinking. They were buying and they were selling, they were planting and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same. It's going to be just like Sodom. It's going to be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and the one whose goods are in the house must go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. It's going to be just like Sodom when Christ says, when I come back. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. Boy, remember Lot's wife. He tells us, guys, you need to remember what happened in Sodom. Our Lord said something about Sodom. In fact, another one, Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, verses 23 and 24, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend into Hades. For if the miracles that had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Here it's really interesting that our Lord says that there is a sin worse than sodomy, and that's the sin of rejecting Christ. That's a sin much worse than sodomy. In fact, one of these days I may preach a sermon called The Greater Sin, but there's a sin worse than sodomy, but sodomy is mentioned as a sin, and God's destruction of that sinful town. Our Lord mentions this on several occasions. In fact, our Lord mentions marriage in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4 to 5, that it was God in the beginning that made them male and female. And for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and joins to his wife. Our Lord says, this is how we were made. And he gives the creation mandate, and that marriage is the standard for sexual morality. That is the standard for sexual morality, is marriage. Anything outside of marriage is immoral. And our Lord reiterated that. I mean, Jesus is God, and it was God who said from Sinai, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said that. He is the Lord of the law. And it was God who also said in Leviticus 18 and verse 22 that any man who lies with a man as one lies with a female, it is an abomination. Amen. Jesus said that because Jesus is God. God said it. God had it written. He said those things. And it was, not only did Jesus say it, but his apostles, his spokesmen, the ones that he sent out with his word and his gospel, said the same thing as well. Romans 1, 25 to 27, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. And for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for what is unnatural. And in the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. This is Jesus' spokesman, his ambassador. You go tell people this. Amen. This is the word of Christ. In fact, the same apostle who says that his words were the commands of Christ says this in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Today is a day of deception. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and with the Spirit of our God. Here it's the sins promoted in Pride Month are listed along with all the other sins, that those who embrace those sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, he ended his book. He gives us a word right before Revelation, and he signs off in Revelation 22. And it's him speaking, and, you know, we're pushed to be so politically correct in our language. Do you know that Jesus used a homosexual slur? Jesus used a homosexual slur. Revelation 22, verses 12 and 15. Behold, I'm coming quickly, Christ talking. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is Christ talking. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates of the city. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers and the idolaters, and those who love and practice lying. He says outside of the city are the dogs. Interesting term.
Amen.
Old Testament term found in Deuteronomy 23 verses 17 and 18. Speaking of the Sodomites, talking about prostitutes, lady prostitutes in the females, and male prostitutes that were the Sodomites were referred to as dogs. Because it was very picturesque of a man who would present himself to another man like a dog. So that's, Jesus used this slur, outside are the dogs. I tell you, that representative from California is biblically illiterate.
Amen.
And blasphemous.
Amen.
To imply that Jesus Christ had nothing to say about the sin of sodomy. He was spewing an old satanic lie that comes, it has never left our world, that says, did God really say?
Amen.
Did God really say that? No, God didn't say that.
Why should he change tactics?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we buy it and continue to buy it. Trying to sanitize sin with that old satanic lie. And to try to sanitize a sin with sacred religion, couching it under Christianity, I tell you, that is satanic. That is satanic.
Amen.
This is a demonic age. And we will see it more and more. Let me try to make this connection here, this correlation between this sin that's celebrated in Pride Month and these other sins that we've talked about. Just sexual sin, you might say a normal sexual sin, those that are just kind of far up the road, not quite as far down the downgrade, sexual sin, and then abortion, and then pride and the perversion. All of these are following a natural progression, or you might say an unnatural or a sinful progression. And let me illustrate this with our own history. The sexual revolution, we think, you know, that happened in the 60s, right? You know, that's, let's throw off all the restraints and let's just, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or, you know, whatever. You know, we got the sexual revolution going on in the 60s. When was abortion, quote, legalized by our Supreme Court? Yeah, not 1973 is when, you know, man, we got to do something with this issue of abortion. Because, you know, you got all this sexual sin going on, and one of the things that God set it up with male and female, kids are a natural result. Boy, you got to do something with the problem of pregnancy. And so you got abortion, you know, in 73. It's kind of interesting that the very same year, 1973, is when sodomy was removed from the mental disorders list of our, you know, the psychiatry world or whatever. They took it away. Oh, that's no longer a depraved mind. We're going to accept that. Then we have this explosion of STDs, the erosion of the family. Eventually, the very redefinition of marriage, and now we're into even gender delusion now, to where we don't even know what a man or a woman is. I mean, what, have we lost our minds? But you can follow the steps downward. You're going the downgrade. You're following the downgrade. And you know what's now popular? I've been seeing it more and more, is the furries.
What?
The furries. Okay, I will not go into much of it, but we are traveling and descending with some panting for something even outside of humankind. And the Bible lays this out. I mean, this is nothing new. There is nothing new under the sun. But let me make another connection here. Because the path of this perversion that we're on as a society, this path of this perversion of pride did not begin where it will end. It didn't begin there. In fact, I'm going to say something that's really going to make me controversial. It didn't begin in the 60s either. We want to point toward the 60s, the sexual revolution of the 60s. It began way before the sexual revolution. There was an article, I was looking through my piles, if I couldn't find it. It was by a gay activist some years ago, and it really struck me. And it was when this debate of gay marriage was going on, and he made a remarkable statement where he said something to the effect of this. He says, "Hey, guys, the argument against gay marriage was lost when having children was divorced from the marital act." He says the argument against gay marriage, you lost that argument not in the 60s and the 70s, you lost that in the 30s. You lost that a long time ago. Once you got off of God's design of the family and the purpose of sex, then you started down a road that will lead to the furries. Okay. Maybe you didn't expect this part of Pride Month. Let me just mention contraception. We don't talk about this in the Protestant church much. You know what that means? It's against conception. Against children. Against the blessed product of a husband and wife coming together in a sexual union. I was shocked some years ago when I read one of my heroes of the faith, Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, referring to contraception as a sodomistic sin. What? That blew me away. Sodomy, it wasn't sodomy, but it was sodomistic, they said, because it's about taking sex and making it all about pleasure without any thought of procreation. All about fun, and hey, God made it fun. I'm glad He made it fun. But fun with no family. I don't want any family as a part of this fun. No responsibility associated with this fun. You know what the original Great Commission was that God gave our parents? I mean, we think of the Great Commission, go into all the world, and that's the Great Commission, but that's the second one in the New Testament. The very first Great Commission was to go be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. God made us male and female. He says, be fruitful, multiply, and to fill the earth. And you know, when we get outside of God's design of male, female, marriage, family, children, once we leave that reservation, then we start the downgrade.
Amen.
Okay, let's we really don't want the problem of kids. Let's not have this. Kids are a bad thing. They're going to hold me back in life. And you know, I mean, sex doesn't even need to be in marriage. I mean, let's just, you know, anybody and everybody, let's just go for it. But you know, man, I mean, the consequences of having a kid. Man, what a bum deal. Takes all the fun out of it. I'm going to ruin my life with the kid. And so what do you do with all these kids that are the product of sexual sin? Oh, let's kill them. Get rid of them. Let's just get rid of the problem. Right? I mean, you know, it doesn't belong. It's not necessary. And then if it happens, well, let's just get rid of them and let's kill them. And then why even deal with the problem at all? Because sodomy eliminates the problem of pregnancy. It does. You don't have that problem anymore. There's no possibility for a problem of procreation. It's all fun with no family. Now, that's what it is. And so where we are now at Pride Month, this is an attack on the created order. It goes all, I mean, let's just take it back to the beginning of the downgrade. You know, I mean, we're down the hill quite, but it's an attack on the created order, male and female. Marriage, children, be fruitful, multiply. This is why we're here, to fill the earth, to exercise dominion over the creation, to enjoy family, man, woman, husband, wife, children, this building block of society to what all society is built on, the purpose of us being here. And when that is jettisoned, you start down the hill.
Amen.
And a depravity of mind will eventually set in. It is not at the beginning. It's not in the 30s. You just kind of go down the hill and you're just going. And again, it's faster and faster and more and more and more. And eventually you're out of control. And how do we stop this runaway train? In fact, let me read what Jesus said through his apostle. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. Do you look at our society and say, what has happened to our brains? A lot of people say, well, God's judgment's coming. Hey, it's already here. God's judgment is the depraved mind. He just says, okay, you want it? You want to go down that hill? No brakes. And we're going. And we're just going to follow gravity to the very end. And the rainbow of Pride Month reminds us of what happens to a society gone mad. We see it after every rain. God reminds us, we get a little bit of flooding, and I'm not going to do it that away again. That when the world gets so bad, when it's like the days of Noah again, when it's like the days of Sodom again, it won't happen with water. You remember what God said He's going to do next time?
Fire.
It will happen with fire. Just like, what happened to Sodom?
Fire
came down from heaven and burned them up. You can read about it in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. That's where we're going. That is the path we're on. But hey, it's Pride. Let's celebrate this sin. For us Christians, there is so much pressure for us to embrace this sin. And it is hard. I mean, you know, probably in every one of our friends and families, we're probably fighting. I mean, how do we do that? I mean, this is practical where our faith meets the road. Because this is the road we're on. We're on the downgrade with them, you know. But anyway, that's just a few of my thoughts pondering Pride Month. I don't, y'all want to add anything to that? We still got a little time left.
When I see it, it makes me sick at my stomach.
Well, sin ought to make us sick. And there is, you know, I think we do have to be careful as Christians. It's not the worst sin. I mean, Jesus. You know, Jesus got onto the towns of his day. They had heard his preaching, seen his miracles, and they rejected the Messiah. And he says, man, Sodom's going to get it a lot easier than you guys. I mean, I'll tell you, the sin of Oklahoma City is a lot worse than the sin of San Francisco. We've had a church on every corner and the gospel around in the Bible Belt for years and years in a much greater degree than San Francisco has. We're much worse, you know, than that. But what I'm talking about here is, but let's not sanitize and say that's okay. I mean, you know, maybe we're worse because we're Christ rejectors here with so much gospel. But that doesn't mean that sodomy is not a sin. And anything else on this touchy topic?
I think we should be allowed to have Christian love.
and celebrate, have our parades, and have our decorations and our own flags. I think that'd be nothing but fair. We have our own flag. But we're not able to walk down the, up and down the street holding it. They'd probably arrest us. Unlawful.
Well, I'm sure you'd get the separation of church and state argument against that. And it'd be nice to get a separation of sin and state. I don't know, that might be a good, you know, let's at least not promote it, you know. I mean it's going to go on in society, but let's not promote it. Yeah, there.
Why did they have to
kind of drop
down the
one? Well, it's just you know, I guess just in your face rebellion. You know, I mean, it's just the progression. We're, you know, no longer hiding it. We're flaunting it, and that's just, you know.
If they can normalize it and entice other people to do it, it makes them not feel so bad in their private moments when they have that voice that says, "This is wrong."
Yeah. I think I heard. I think Russell Moore said that there are three stages to any. Like a societal cultural revolution. First, the first stage is what was once condemned is now celebrated. What was once condemned is now celebrated. And the second stage is what was once celebrated is now condemned. And stage three is then you condemn those that don't celebrate. And that's what's going on now. What was once condemned is now being celebrated. And what was once celebrated, family, that's being condemned, you know. And guess what? If you don't celebrate this change, if you don't now say that bitter is sweet and darkness is light and male is female, and if you don't say that and celebrate that, then you're condemned. And that's kind of the stage we're in as a society.
Jail for you.
Yeah, but well, I said it's a we're not the first to be there. Probably won't be the last, unless Christ comes. Huh? If he comes by the end of the month, that'd be great, wouldn't it? You know, I could go for that. So, well, let's close in a prayer, and then we can fellowship some more if we want. Our Father, we thank you for your word. That you are the one that shows us the truth, and you define life for us. Help us to have a vision of the world the way that you would have us see it. Lord, also give us a love for our neighbors and compassion for sinners like us, that we might desire for them to find a Savior like you. Now give us the boldness we need to be lights in our world. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.